Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 31 through 46. These are ancient words, but probably words that you are familiar with, at least at some level. But as you hear them again, listen for something being spoken into your life and into your heart. For me personally, they're very convicting words that never cease to engage me. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates a sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, I hope you were here last week. Riveting sermon, just riveting. If you weren't here, you can always check out the recording. But I say this because after that sermon, I caught a lot of grief. I caught a lot of grief after last week's sermon when I made the suggestion, just a suggestion, that the number one Thanksgiving side dish in the South is bacon-infused Brussels sprouts. That's all I said. Y'all were all over me. I mean, even though I was just the herald of the survey results, some of you even accused me of manipulating the data. You know, as if I had some personal agenda. I don't care. I don't care about Brussels sprouts. They're fine. We can take them. We can leave them. Friends, it hurt me. It hurt me. I can't help it if you just are not Southern enough to know what we eat on Thanksgiving. But anyway, out of the graciousness of my heart, I'm going to give you a second chance. Second chance to receive with an open and loving spirit information that I have for you that will improve your well-being. Again, it involves a list. And the list is entitled, 9 Non-Negotiable, Non-Negotiables for a Long and Happy Life. Okay. Now, I don't want to go through them in detail. You can look it up online. I'm sure you can find it. It was in a headline these last few days. But I'll just go through them quickly so you can get an idea for what you can do to experience a happier and fuller life. Number one. Move naturally. What does that mean? Move as opposed to organized workouts. Move naturally was number one. Number two, have purpose, as in why I wake up in the morning. Name it. Three, they called it downshifting in this article, but it simply meant finding a way to reduce your stress. All right. Number four, the 80% rule. As in, stop eating when your stomach is 80% full. I don't think so. Good luck in the South and that, and your bacon-infused Brussels sprouts. Okay, I settled down. Okay, number five, it's a very simple one. Eat more plants, eat fewer animals. All right. Now, I'm sure I don't have to tell you this one, but number six is alcohol. In moderation. In moderation. Number seven, we'll come back to number seven. Seven's a perfect number. We'll see why in a moment. Number eight, keep loved ones close, literally and figuratively. Number nine, find and maintain a close social circle that supports healthy behaviors. Key is healthy behaviors. All right, back to number seven. Very simple. Belong. Belong. Find a faith-based community, the article says. It doesn't seem to matter which denomination, even though United Methodist is probably the best choice. Anyway, it doesn't matter what denomination or even the faith. It doesn't matter. And here's the clincher, they said. And the reason I'm bringing it up here in the first place. Research, must be right, research shows that attending faith-based services four times per month. I think the only person that does that is Ashley, and maybe a couple of us around here. Four times a month will add 4 to 14 years of life expectancy. Wow. Now, it will do wonders for you, folks. It may even save your life. Okay, hold that thought. Okay, more trivia. Now, Bill already spoiled it for me in his little announcement earlier. But does anybody here remember the Byrds, the group, the Byrds? There's about two of you that are still around. Okay. I don't remember it. Anyway, 1960s group, the Byrds, they had two major hits. Again, there's already been a spoiler. Anyway, we're not going to go to the one Bill mentioned earlier. But you know, first of all, these two hits, nobody in the group wrote the lyrics to these songs. First one, anybody have an idea? Mr. Tambourine Man. Raise your hand if you ever heard that song. All right. You know who wrote it? Oh, my gosh. Dan, get out. All right. Mr. Bob Dylan wrote that song. Anybody heard of Bob Dylan? All right. Okay, good enough. All right. The second song, again, it's already been spoiled. Turn, Turn, Turn. Not written by anybody in the group. Who wrote Turn, Turn, Turn? Not Pete Seeger. I knew you were going to say that. No. That was the first cover of that classic song. No. Think back further. Bill, any ideas? Thank you. Whoever wrote Ecclesiastes. That's in the Bible, folks. B-I-B-L-E. All right. It says a teacher says these words. For everything, there is a season. Everything, there's a season. Huh. Do you know that line? Sure you do. What does it mean? For everything, there's a season. Oh, we know what it means. We know what it means because that's the way we lead our lives. We lead our lives in seasons. That's why we think of things in our lives. I can't remember how many times last week, as the week was dawning, people said, oh, this Thursday marks the beginning of the holiday season. Or the Christmas season. Time and time again. Okay, have you ever made this statement? Where's all the time gone? Where has the time gone? Seemed like just yesterday was, you know, June. Or it seems like little Junior was just born and now Junior's getting married and all sorts of things. You know, have you ever said that? Something like that? If you haven't, you will. You will at some point. Anyway, where's the time gone? I can't believe it. If you ever said that, the question is, why do you say that? Why would you think that way? Seasons. Seasons are the reason you say that. You see, we talk a good game of history being a linear sort of phenomenon. You know, we talk linearly. That's hard to say, linearly. We talk linearly, but we live it seasonally. That's how we leave our time. And so what happens is, for some reason, somehow, we get removed from that setting of seasons, and we see the vast linear layout of time, and we go, wow, what has happened? And that's when we feel like it has slipped away. For every time there's a season. For every time there's a season, we live tightly circumscribed seasonal lives. Don't believe it? Think through it. We organize our lives around a group of cycles. We have the Gregorian cycle, which begins each year on January 1 and runs through, any guesses? December 31, very good. It's a season that runs 365 and 0.25 days. Correct. Oh, 2024 is leap year. We're going to make up those quarter days that we lost. Anyway, we also have winter, spring, summer, fall seasons. We have the sports season or cycle. Was there a game last night? No, okay. Anyway, the question always is, what cycle or season orders your life? What is it? Which one does? Which one gives meaning to your life and directs your life? Oh, maybe it's the work season. Oh, you work all week, and then you take a couple of days off. Then you start all over again. You know, rinse, repeat, you know, that sort of thing. And, of course, there are other cycles, too. I mean, once you start looking for them, you'll find them everywhere seasons. So for everything, there's a season. Everything is a season. And for a time for every matter under heaven. Don't believe it? You've been at a point in your life when you say something like, you know, when disorder is introduced, chaos reigns, and you just say, what is going on? And someone says to you these words, hold on, because this too shall pass. It's okay. You'll fall back into things. You'll fall back into the seasons of your life. Okay, not all cycles are created or seasons are created equally. Please note that. Therefore, you need to be very, very careful, and you must choose your seasons with extreme care, because it is your dominant season, your dominant cycle, that ultimately gives meaning to your life. Gives you ultimate meaning, or it doesn't. And we discover that when something happens. I've seen it over and over again. Sometimes a cycle in which we have grounded our lives comes up short when we need it the most. Not that the cycle is intrinsically bad necessarily, but it's just that it's not that which should undergird our lives. So what cycle undergirds your life? All right. Thus the arrival of the point of the sermon. I know you're thinking it's about time. Okay. Today is the final Sunday of the liturgical year, the liturgical season. It's called Reign of Christ Sunday, or you prefer Christ the King Sunday. And what that means is that we have been working toward this day all year. In fact, the first day of the season last year, or the first day of the year last year was, I think it was November 27th, so 2022. That's when we began a new year last year, and it ends today. It's called the work of the people, liturgical, from the liturgy, the work of the people. Liturgical year is the annual cycle during we, the people of the church, go about our work. And what is our work? What do we do? Well, how about this? Then the righteous will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. The work of the people, the work of the church, our work is to live into the kingdom of God so that the good news of God's grace is not just preached within these walls, but is poured out into this world through our living. That's our work. And it ends today. We have arrived. Today is Christ the King Sunday. We've worked at it all year, and we have finally achieved. But wait. You say, we didn't achieve that as a church. Sure, we did some good things, but there's so much more we could do as a community of faith. You may say, well, I didn't do everything I should. Christ doesn't reign in my heart completely. And you may feel despair. I didn't do it. I did not make it. Well, that's the bad news. Today's the last day of the year. Christ, the reign of Christ. But the good news is, next week we get to start all over. The first Sunday of Advent is the first Sunday of the year. and the light starts creeping back into the world. And we light the Advent wreath one candle at a time, and the light builds, and it builds, the light that will scatter the darkness that threatens us. So next week, we get another chance. We get another chance to make this place an oasis of God's grace. Friends, next week, I invite you to begin to practice your faith by observing a liturgical season. Allow the structure of the year in this place. Order your life beyond this place. Try it for a season. It's very simple. The liturgical year is based on the life and ministry, death and resurrection of Jesus, and then the ministry of the church. It begins with Advent, which is anticipation, hope, incarnation, enfleshment. And then you move into Christmas. You know, the 12 days of Christmas, birth, arrival, new beginnings. And then we move to Epiphany, you know, manifestation. We begin to realize things. We become aware of things. And then we move into Lent. We move deeper into ourselves and into our faith. And then Easter arrives. Resurrection, new life, new possibilities. And then Pentecost, empowerment by God's Spirit. And our mission and our charge is laid out for us. And then finally, the season of Pentecost, which ends today, our life and our ministry together. What if you structured your day-to-day life around that? Wow, what would happen? Okay, back to number 7. Remind you about number 7. 9 non-negotiables for a long and happy life. Belong. Research shows that attending faith-based services 4 times per month will add 4 to 14 years to your life expectancy. Hey, there are 4 Sundays in Advent. Do the math. It may change your life. I don't make this stuff up. I'm just the herald. So happy Thanksgiving last week. Happy New Year this week. Thanks be to God. Amen.